Sun. Welcome our guest, and he'll be talking about this exhibit.
Thanks. My colleague at the MCA, Francesco Bonacci, sort of talks about how when you're doing a solo artist show, there really is no curator. The artist, especially for a lot of these things, living artists, because you know, they have so much input in terms of the selection and placement, and I think that's, you know, my co-curator, Russell, would agree that that with Wolfgang, that's even more so true than anything else. But in terms of like, you know, Wolfgang being an artist that I selected to work with, and I think when you're a curator, you do sort of have, you know, so many options available to you in terms of artists that you're going to work with, and looking at, you know, why you're going to work with this artist, and who, you know, is going to be, you know, a certain overtaking a certain amount of your life. You know, I sort of wanted to talk about, you know, why Wolfgang in a way for me, and maybe as a sort of follow-up to that, you know, kind of what I've kind of gotten from this. I'm sorry, it's going to be a little bit selfish, it's going to be all about me, but, you know, curating often is that way, and I also have to apologize that, you know, it's so funny that, you know, when you're working on an exhibition like this, or any exhibition, you know, giving tours and giving talks is so much easier, like, right afterwards, even, like, you know, giving tours to the trustees, and talking to the press about the show, even, like, writing a catalog, and say, it's now been a year since the show had been in Chicago, and so, you know, my head's a little out of, like, Wolfgang and into, like, rock and roll, so I'm going to have to get my head back into Wolfgang, but, which is sort of why I picked this grouping to kind of talk about, but I'll get into that in a little bit. I also just wanted to sort of publicly call out my colleagues here at the Hirshhorn, who've just done a magnificent job of working with Wolfgang, working with us on Hammer to pull the show off, and especially Kristen Heilman, who did a magnificent job of coordinating the exhibition. The exhibition, just as an aside, is really interesting one in terms of this now being the third venue for the show. In Chicago, it was sort of like, because our space is, for Wolfgang, was two sort of 75 by 75 foot square spaces with 20 foot ceilings, and Wolfgang really kind of dictated, he designed the space himself in terms of the wall layout. It was sort of this unbelievable sort of explosion of images. I think it was like 400, 500 photographs that were in the show. Then when the show went to the Hammer, because their space is smaller with lower ceilings, Wolfgang really kind of did a show that was much more compact and much almost more classical in its head. And so what was interesting to me when I came in to see the show yesterday was the degree to which this show is so much more almost a synthesis of those two shows. But still very much a characteristically Wolfgang Tillmann show, in the sense that you have this emphasis on the photograph as an object, as something that makes a sort of physical sort of statement, not only as a sort of as a material, but also in the way that you relate to it physically as a person, the way that certain images require you to become much more intimate with the image by kind of going up these sort of snapshot-sized photographs, but also combine those in this sort of very contemporary salon-style sort of hang with much larger images that kind of overwhelm you in a certain sense. But I kind of wanted to talk about this grouping here, not only keeping with the selfishness theme, that it's a work that we brought into the MCA Chicago's collection as a sort of result of the show, but also that this kind of represents sort of why I got interested in Wolfgang's work in the first place. This image here I actually had on a t-shirt. Wolfgang had a t-shirt when he was sort of, you know, first kind of coming into prominence as a photographer. And Wolfgang's sort of emergence as a photographer really interestingly came, I think, a lot through his ability to represent the sort of cultural milieu, the sort of youth cultural milieu from which he was very immersed in. And in a way, I think that's what made Wolfgang, I mean, the fact that this is his first really major United States museum exhibition, even though Wolfgang, you know, is a renowned figure, someone whose name is very familiar, whose books are in Borders and Virgin Megastore, and you know, just he's a very well sort of known photographer. I think that in a way that sort of countered against him in a certain way, that people sort of always felt that maybe he was just too familiar, or it just seemed like, oh, someone must have done a museum show in the United States, Wolfgang Tillmans, by now. But aside from a smaller show at PS1 in New York, it hadn't happened, so we in the Hammer were really fortunate to be able to sort of say we were doing this first major survey of those things work. But when I was an undergrad student at the University of Illinois Chicago, studying art history, and also a part-time security guard at the MCA, where I now work, I had a t-shirt, Wolfgang Tillmans t-shirt, with this image of Susanna Lutz. And I think the fact that, you know, for me, a lot of, obviously I'm doing an exhibition about rock and roll, for me a lot of my interest in Wolfgang kind of grew out of that sort of pop cultural basis, the fact that not only was Wolfgang one of the things that really drove him to kind of document his own scene was a desire to sort of present an imagery that was much more authentic about that group of people. When you sort of get a lot of, before I think when you had images of people from youth culture, it was very much sort of strained through, you know, kind of how marketing, how the mass media sort of wants to see young people, or how they want young people to sort of like, you know, kind of interact with their of what they're trying to sell. And so for Wolfgang, he felt it was very important to sort of say, no, I'm part of this culture, I'm going to do the job of you know, representing it myself. And so this body of work was, interestingly, the one that really kind of, this installation that sort of begins with this rather beautiful landscape and ends with the one of the Freischwimmer abstractions, was the installation that opened the Chicago show as well. And so I thought it was very interesting that does so once again here, sort of establishes historically, even though the show is very, you know, typically for Wolfgang, because he does mix and match images from throughout his career, it's interesting that there's so much of the very early sort of work that informs that is part of Wolfgang's history here. And it's all really kind of driven by allusions to various aspects of club culture. You see, obviously, a lot of young people that you expect to see around nightclubs and so forth, as well as famous DJs, Richie Houghton here, and the noted Manchester-based DJ Mike Pickering. And I was thinking on the way over here that it was really interesting if you kind of think about how figures like these are presented, how pop cultural sort of figures, and you see it in a lot of Wolfgang's portraiture, you know, rather than what had been the sort of norm up until that point, which is, you know, these very sort of like, you know, staged and then very sort of slick kind of images of people. Wolfgang was really, I think, quite remarkably revolutionary in terms of being an artist who became known for presenting these kinds of figures in very kind of casual or seemingly casual, very sort of catching them in these sort of unforced sort of moments and sort of taking these people who are sort of larger than life and kind of bringing them into a sort of human sort of scale based on the way that sort of amazing way that he's able to sort of capture people. I think the kind of rapport that he develops with his subjects. But I think that it's sort of interesting in the sense that, you know, Wolfgang has this ability to have this incredible sort of familiarity, this incredibly sort of like deceptive casualness that's really offset by Wolfgang being extremely focused in the way that he goes about things. I think one of the things that is a really big misconception of Wolfgang is that this is all very casual, it's all very just sort of off the cuff. But Wolfgang has an extremely sort of concentrated way of thinking about not only how he goes about his work, but also the kind of different themes that inform his work as well. But this one in particular is sort of interesting, not only in terms of, you know, kind of establishing where he sort of starts out, but sort of also kind of encapsulating it as sort of a nice kind of embodiment of where he's gone since then. And one of the things that I thought was really affecting, I mean, there's so many affecting things about Wolfgang, is he's just really kind of one of the most remarkable people I've worked with. I mean, I kind of want to have like a tattoo to my arm, WWWD or something, like what would Wolfgang do? You know, as sort of an ethos. He's just, you know, one of the most considerate and really sort of professional and just, you know, well thought out artists that I've ever worked with. But the title of his show at the Tate, written in 2003, was "If One Thing Matters, Everything Matters." And it's not only just such a beautiful phrase in it, but it does sort of allude to this very democratic way, not only that Wolfgang seems to see the world, but also that with which he represents it back to us photographically. The fact that, you know, someone like Mike Pickering, who is, you know, in at least the kind of club DJ and dance music world, a sort of renowned, sort of, you know, huge figure, is presented at the same scale with the same kind of care and attention as these sort of folds of clothes or these, you know, pants that have just been sort of seemingly casually draped over a staircase. The sort of equivalency of things in the world and the way that Wolfgang sort of makes in other sort of places in the show kind of overlaps, you know, images of Tony Blair with you know, these very fragile sort of still lifes from just effects on this table. The way that sort of brings you into this visual understanding of the world is not only sort of perhaps interconnected, but very much on this sort of, you know, very flat plane in a way, I think is really interesting. But also drawing out, I think, a lot of the sort of unexpected moments that materials or the way that the paper drop images were in recognizing that these very sort of accidental or very sort of mundane and sort of just happenstance ways that photographic paper curls up, photographed from the right way, from the right angle, can create this unbelievably beautiful aesthetic moment that has a lot to do with sculpture and form and sort of raising this very accidental thing that happens in the world up to this sort of plane of almost sublimity. And so, what else to say? But I think it's interesting. I think one of the great things about working on a show like this was to sort of bring Wolfgang from out of this sort of, you know, kind of cloistered understanding of him as being more about these kinds of works, about being this sort of like hot and heavy club kid, you know, youth cultural sort of understanding and getting people to think, you know, see the abstractions and see those and see how Wolfgang is not only really interested, and he's continued to sort of, you know, represent people from his milieu as they kind of, you know, get older with him, but also to demonstrate how he has so many other sort of interests, the way that he wants to look at sort of forced accidents in the darkroom and how those produce these incredible aesthetic effects, to look at the way that he can not only kind of have these very fragile everyday moments, but also bring extremely pointed and affecting political content into his work. Not only these soldiers installation that you see later on with re-photographing a lot of the images from newspapers of photographs of soldiers, but also sort of combining that with his own sort of imagery. But also with the Truth Study Center, where you see a lot of this, you know, clippings from newspapers, all sort of focusing on perhaps you know, certain topics, also different kinds of research that may sort of be contrary to the sort of things that are presented in the mass media, particularly in this installation, it seems, about religion. And combining that with, once again, these sort of other sort of aspects of life and sort of showing that, I think in that piece, Truth Study Center, about how the truth means so many different things, but you know, it's perhaps, you know, in a way Wolfgang's truth, but he sort of opens it up in the form of this very museological presentation to you as the viewer to kind of like construct your own sense of truth around the material that Wolfgang has amassed for you. And so it really has been interesting to kind of like go from what for me was a very sort of specialized, localized sort of thing, the way that Wolfgang did affect me as a, you know, 19, 20-year-old, you know, college student, sort of being able to be, you know, very authentic and having that sort of credibility to sort of present this imagery that I really identify with. But now as, you know, the sort of aging post-punk that I am, sort of see Wolfgang having matured as an artist and sort of seeing this much more layered sort of artist and all these different kinds of aspects and components to his work has been a really kind of interesting kind of growth, I think, you know, for all of us in a way to sort of to live with his work in a certain way. I don't know if there's any. If you want to ask any questions, that would be really great. Yeah.
How was this picture taken?
How do you mean? She apparently, his friend Suzanne is extraordinarily flexible, but I'd say with a camera.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this picture right here, this is showing the back of
a stack of speakers. And so, you know, it's interesting to sort of see how this group of works is not only kind of focusing on, you know, sort of people, close-ups of people who are, you know, in nightclubs and, you know, maybe just coming off the dance floor all sweaty and so forth, or, you know, the DJ sort of taking a break and so forth, but or this, you know, kind of sampling machine that's part of the sort of DJ culture, but also, you know, sort of sound component as well, you know, sort of, once again, like, you know, rather than seeing the people in front of the speakers themselves, and sort of seeing those as these sort of, like, fetishized objects, you know, sort of looking at the other side, but kind of, once again, creating a level of importance to them in the terms of, you know, how large the image is created. The sort of moment that, you know, maybe most people would sort of not take account of when they're sort of at an outdoor festival or so forth, but Wolfgang sort of is kind of bringing it home to us. Actually, this is the latest, one of the latest ones, actually. This is an image from, well, that's the thing, it's an image from 2005, but the image itself was one of the earlier ones, I think from like 1989, 1990, which Wolfgang has re-photographed, and then put through a photocopier, and then re-photographed that photocopier. So it is really about, you know, kind of playing with how photographs kind of change, how their effect can change through these different processes. I think it's worth noting that I believe Wolfgang was really self-taught, and I think one of the things that kind of prompted him to sort of take his, you know, really kind of develop, like, kind of see himself as an artist was, I think he had a job when he was in Hamburg making sort of photocopies and so forth, and so the process of sort of working, kind of monkeying around with the photocopier and making these different kind of works in that way really developed an appreciation for how the image and paper and the material of photography sort of work. And so it's sort of funny how this piece kind of follows up on that those early kind of experimentations that led him to sort of explore how he could sort of transform photography into something that people not only understand in terms of its ability to represent the world, but also as an object in and of itself. How he's sort of, you know, kind of alluding to that past and sort of bringing it into his present, now that he has the ability to sort of make these larger images. What happens when you take this image that's then sort of denigrated and put through this kind of process and expand it up into something that we take much more and frame it and take much more seriously as a sort of this more sort of valuable sort of object in a way.
Things to say that it's an inversion of that whole thing of the Warhol to the media image to the silk screen?
It's interesting. Yeah, but I think with Warhol it was more like kind of it was the mass producibility of the silk screens that was really interesting. Whereas I think this is just sort of like a means to an end. The way that Wolfgang is able to sort of reproduce his photographs for each kind of exhibition. Rather than, and yeah, I think this series does wind up being kind of an interesting inversion in a way. It's sort of interesting how, I mean, the title of these works are Empire, which, you know, calls to mind the great film by Warhol, the Empire State Building and so forth, so.
Now, I understand that they have moved
That would be a good thing to ask Wolfgang later.
In that same regard, especially when you get down to the Concord series, uh-huh. I think of Edward Shea.
Oh, sure.
Is he influenced by American artists like Edward Shea, do you think?
That's an excellent question. I think probably, but also I think, you know, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned Roche because, you know, one of the things that the essay that I wrote for the catalog was about Wolfgang's relationship to photo conceptualism and conceptual artists like Roche, especially those conceptual photographs that he did, but also Bernard Hillenbecher, people like that. And I think, once again, I felt it was really important to kind of take Wolfgang out of this kind of context where everything is just like, you know, people thinking it's all off the cuff, to show that, you know, that Wolfgang is, you know, kind of thinking about these histories. I'm sure Roche is sort of one of those artists that you kind of, it's almost impossible to sort of get around him. He's also, you know, very well known in Germany, but also, perhaps another thing to mention is Wolfgang's, how frequently he works with books, and Ed Roche being one of the classic sort of artists who, and Concord not only exists as that sort of grid, but also as a book as well, and the difference between how it's arranged on a wall as photographs, but also the different experience that you get looking at it as a book. It's really interesting, I think, like more so than I think people know, particularly with the sort of grid-like formatting, the degree to which Wolfgang really does quite consistently kind of like bring up issues that are involved with conceptualism or that, or sort of works with the structures that were sort of put into contemporary art by conceptual art. The Truth Study Center tables are very much kind of coming out of this, of artists like Marcel Broders, who in the late 60s, early 1970s were sort of taking the kind of way that museums sort of package and structure information and bringing that into the space of art as well, and people like Dan Graham in that context. So, certainly. But I also think maybe the sort of mood that Roche was able to convey with some of his later work as well, or the sort of like meeting of the painter and the photographic that you see in a lot of like
Roche throwing the typewriter out of the car with
Oh, sure. Which I think, you know, certain images of Wolfgang's kind of evoke, or even like for me, a lot of it was really fun to see in this installation. You know, Wolfgang kind of maintained a bit of playfulness in terms of his placement of, you know, certain images on the sort of like be the jam of these like doorways and so forth. This was really kind of sweet sort of gesture. I think it's like, you know, it was interesting in terms of people's reception of the show in Chicago that. Maybe the fact that Chicago is sort of this, like, you know, bastion of, like, the sort of Institute of Design photographers like Harry Callahan and Aaron Siskin, you know, and that tradition being so sort of well ensconced in Chicago, and people having, you know, very traditional way of, like, experiencing photography, and then bringing Wolfgang into the MCA and having this, you know, I think people were really kind of, like, taken aback by having these photographs as material as sort of like crawling all over the walls. But they got used to it, so.
Could you put him in a context of what's happening in the British art world? He seems flanked by the young British artists on one side, and there's the New York article on Banksy getting record sale prices at auction, both in the formal and the informal galleries. He doesn't seem to really fall into either one, and with the way the British art world is latching onto Banksy, just throwing all their money into what at one point was pure youth culture, pure ephemeral works, where does that leave Wolfgang going?
I don't know. But it's interesting that you bring up the British thing because, you know, on certain levels, you know, Wolfgang is, you know, such a solidly German artist in a way, in terms of, you know, there's this, you know, allusions to a certain tradition of the Romanticism. Where, it was funny because I was walking around the show yesterday, and, you know, and it's the question has come up before, like, you know, is, you know, what's Wolfgang's relationship to Gerhard Richter or something, which I don't necessarily really think about, but, you know, one can sort of see that relationship. You know, he does really kind of fall in, you know, very easily into a context. I mean, one of his really good friends and sometimes collaborators is Isa Gensman, who the sculptor is going to have a show at the German pavilion at the Venice Biennale this year. And the way that she works with materials and his attention to photography as a material, I think, is very interesting. But Wolfgang, at the same time, has been living in London for a number of years and received the Turner Prize in 2000. So really kind of formally sort of celebrated his presence as a British artist or as an artist who's been part of that scene. But the fact that he, you know, that one of the last images that you see is an image of Richard Hamilton, the sort of eminent degrees of British pop. He's also photographed people like Gillian Waring, Gareth Wynne Evans, other artists from his milieu in Britain. He's also started a little gallery called Between the Bridges in the space underneath the studio. And so it's funny because, you know, in a certain sort of way, you know, Wolfgang has a sort of dual citizenship as an artist. There's such a strong Germanic presence in his work. But as a sort of living kind of artist and breathing within this sort of community, he really has sort of established himself within sort of British context, you know, making images of British DJs who really kind of had a lot to do with establishing, particularly Mike Pickering, who really kind of was central to the whole Manchester acid house scene, but also, you know, artists like Jarvis Cocker and Morrissey, the fact that, or even, you know, the images of Tony Blair, I mean, the fact that Wolfgang really does draw on his immediate sort of surroundings as inspiration for his work, but is also very much a recognized kind of participant in that very strong community of British artists. And so, it is interesting, though, the way that he sort of coexists within these two worlds and so forth, both as a German artist and as a British artist in a certain sense.
Do we have room for one more? Any other questions for people?
Did he specifically request not to have any music in this installation?
I guess it's in the light spotty piece. But but he's done like music videos for the Pet Shop Boys, and it is, you know, such a sort of strong kind of interest of his. But I don't know if he's made any requests for like the DJ tonight.
Yeah,
that'll be new. But
he did request the DJ tonight.
But he's very particular about where the after party was in Chicago as well. So
well, thank you everyone for coming.